Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer, one of the co-founders of the Community Roundtable, and I'm here with my colleague Shannon Abram. Shannon.
Hi, Jim. We are so excited to be back with another edition of the podcast. We have a very special guest with us today. We have Matt Schneider with us. Matt, I would love if you could introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about you and a little about the community you work with.
Sure. Thank you guys for having me. My name is Matt Schneider. I'm the co-founder and organizer for City Dads Group, our nationwide community of active and engaged dads. We've now got groups in 34 cities across the country. I am an at-home dad. I started off as a dad being a stay-at-home dad, what people call a stay-at-home dad. Now I call myself a work-at-home dad because this work with City Dads Group is taking up pretty much every free moment I have while my kids are at school.
That's awesome. And as a dad who works from home, I kind of get it. But could you tell us more about the community and the platform you're on? It sounds fascinating.
Yeah. Well, we started, or we continue to be on meetup.com. Know Scott Hefferman, the founder of Meetup. He became a member of our group, as he likes to do, and he's actually been a pretty active member of our NYC Dads group that we started in 2008. And we have built our community, all of our communities, on Meetup, and we now use Meetup Pro to organize ourselves.
So the number one, we work with all kinds of communities from like multiple communities that are dispersed, like it sounds like what City Dads is, to, you know, corporate communities and those kinds of things. And the number one question everyone always struggles with is engagement. And so since your kinds of communities are a little bit different, how do you get dads involved? How do you get them coming back? Are there any secrets you could share?
That's our biggest challenge. I think for the most part, dads don't necessarily think about looking for a community of other dads. We first have to plant the seed that they need a community of dads, that it's nice to have other dads to socialize with, to share ideas with, to share baby food making tips with, diaper changing tips with, stroller recommendations and all that kind of stuff. So we start with even the idea that a dad's group is fun and necessary. And I think once we can get a guy out to our meetups, they're hooked. We always try not to call ourselves a support group. Of course, we are very supportive of each other, but guys aren't necessarily looking for support. They're looking to have fun. And when a guy comes to one of our meetups, we're standing around at a playground with our kids, or we're having a dad's night out drinking a beer or going bowling or something like that. We're not sitting around. I always say we're not sitting around in a drum circle sharing our feelings.
I did actually see a picture, maybe it was on a Twitter feed, of maybe a poker game and some beers around the table. So that sounds like something that you take to heart.
Absolutely. I think that poker game was our Boston Dads group. It was actually a charity event that we did, and they organized a poker game and got guys out. And I think that's one example. We really try to create opportunities for dads that they wouldn't otherwise be able to have. We've had tours of football stadiums. We've had big picnics at fun venues across the country. We are certainly focused on dads meeting up at the park or the museum, but every now and then an opportunity comes along, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity comes along when you have not only a group but an audience, and we get a lot of fun things to do with our group.
So just to follow on with Shannon's original question about engagement, it sounds like a lot of your – I'm just wondering – if you do a similar or you have similar strategies online with using the community?
Yeah, I think we are very active. The whole point of our group is to bring dads together in person, but we're very active on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We've become a voice, I think, for dads, where we really intend to try try to change the conversation about fatherhood and how the world views dads, how marketers view dads, how the workplace views dads. So that's really kind of the intention behind our social media efforts. We actually don't create community online in terms of a closed group of dads in a Facebook closed group, for example. I am part of some of those groups, and those can be challenging to manage. So we try to bring guys together in person and create that bond and use that tie of fatherhood to bond us all together.
Got it. So as a dad of teenage girls, I understand that there can sometimes be crisis. And I'm wondering, in your case with the community, have you ever faced a crisis that ended up really being a positive thing for the community?
You know, I think when there are days when we think everything is in crisis, and most things don't turn out to be a crisis. But I think the one example that I can think of is a guy that started one of our groups in a city outside of New York is one of our early groups. And we talk through very much about the values of our organization and what we want our groups to be about. And we are very intentional about making sure that our groups are welcoming for all types of dads, whether they be at-home dads or working dads, single dads or married dads, gay dads or straight dads, across the economic spectrum, across the racial spectrum. And that's the conversation we have as we have our volunteer organizers start groups around the country. But we had a dad who heard me say all of those words but didn't necessarily understand that we really take it to heart, that welcoming aspect of it. And right around the time of the Supreme Court marriage decision to allow two men and two women to get married, we celebrated that. We have a lot of gay dads in our groups across the country, and we were very happy about that decision. And this organizer understood that we would be tolerant, or in his understanding, we would be tolerant if a gay dad happened to come to one of our meetups, but didn't kind of understand that we're not being tolerant, we're actually being welcoming. And I was concerned about it as a crisis because of the potential for kind of a real social argument about our values, and we tend not to be political, and I don't really call that a political conversation. But it wasn't a crisis because we were able to talk through it, and he recognized that maybe being a leader of our group wasn't the right thing, and he kind of stepped away. So in that sense, it wasn't a crisis, but bigger picture, it allowed us to really crystallize the values that we want to bring to all of our groups. And that conversation, every time we start a new group, becomes much more intentional about understanding who we are, who the dads are in our group, and who we welcome. And that is, in saying those words out loud, and in every chance I can get, it really helps those people to hear them that might be feeling worried about joining our group and actually wanting to join our group. Great example is in our Boston Dads group. One of the dads in the group heard me say that we welcome all types of dads, gay dads, straight dads, and he happens to be a transgender dad. And he heard me talk about it, not only wanted to find our group in Boston, but is now helping to run our group in Boston. So again, that moment that could have been very difficult became a real opportunity for us to crystallize our message.
Yeah, it sounds like it also helped you really focus in on your governance and, you know, think carefully about, you know, how you supported dads and what some of the guardrails might be for your community.
Absolutely.
So this is semi-related to that, just thinking about, it sounds like you have a lot of volunteers running your city groups. It sounds like they're all over the country. Do you do blanketed program ideas? Do you say like, oh, everyone should be doing a beer thing this month, or everyone should do your own newsletters? Like how do you handle programming for so many diverse and disparate groups of communities?
Yeah, we have a lot of guidelines since they are volunteers, and every dad is different. Even the dads running our groups are different. Some of them are at-home dads like me that have kids at school, and they have time to do things that a full-time working dad doesn't necessarily have time to do. So we try to help these guys fit running a City Dads group into their lives rather than make them adjust their lives too much. That said, we hope that there are multiple meetups in any given month and a diverse set of meetups. We want that dad's night out that a working dad can make. We want something during the week at 10 a.m. that an at-home dad can make it to with his kids. Hopefully you have a dad that wants to plan meetups on the weekends and can get some of the families together on the weekends. We also make sure that all the guys are very active on social media. It's easy to kind of find your little group of friends, group of dads, and kind of put a bubble around yourselves, but we really want to open ourselves up and show the world what our groups are all about. So those pictures on Instagram of the bowling alley meetup are important for showing the group, or showing the world who we are. So we really do ask dads to be active there as well. And the one way that we connect to each other is through kind of the Facebook organizer group. All the organizers from across the country are collected in one group, and that group is our way of sending kind of what we need from the organizers. But even more importantly, it's a place for dads to be inspired by each other, or the organizer dads to be inspired by what other guys around the country are doing, and to really ask questions and see, oh, wow, I saw you took your group to an amusement park and got 50 free tickets for the families in your group. I can go to the amusement park and see if they'll give us some tickets and promote that meetup on our social media. And that really has made these guys feel like they're not alone in this endeavor. It's easy, as you all know, to kind of feel lost when you're running a community. But when you're connected to these other organizers, you really have a sense of, well, if that guy in Fresno, California can do it, then why couldn't I in Madison, Wisconsin do the same thing?
That's great. I love to hear about the community building while you're building community. It's very meta. I like it. I understand this question might be like asking you to pick, if you have more than one child, to pick your favorite one. But do you have a favorite program that you guys are on, or a favorite kind of meetup that you guys do?
Absolutely. This isn't a tough question for me, because we now have been working every year on Giving Tuesday, which is a global day of giving that takes place after Black Friday and Cyber Monday. An organization about 7 years ago created this concept of Giving Tuesday for everyone to have a day of giving back. And we've been participating for many years. Last year we started, one of our sponsors agreed to join us, Plum Organics. And we worked in seven cities across the country with seven different nonprofits. Plum Organics donated a pallet of food in each of those cities, and our dads were on site at those organizations doing whatever work needed to be done. In New York City, we work with an organization called the Good Plus Foundation, who serves families in need across the New York City area. We were sorting clothes for families and packing up diapers and that kind of stuff, and six other groups across the country were doing something similar. And this year, Giving Tuesdays on November 28th, we're working again with Plum Organics, and we'll be in 12 cities this year, and 12 different nonprofits will be supported. So we're really excited about that.
Oh, that's great. Let me transition a little bit. We love to ask everyone we talk with one question in particular, and that's, what do you consider your community superpower?
Yeah, I'm always terrible personally about questions like this, and I am I'm terrible at thinking about this for our organization as well. I think there's a lot of things that we really try to do. I think the one thing that I'm very happy about and proud of is that we've been patient along the way, because it's what we're doing is not easy. Trying to create community amongst dads is not easy. And having the patience and resilience to keep going, I don't know if that's considered a superpower, but some days it feels like it, especially for these dads that are starting new groups across the country, to be patient and recognize just because you build it does not mean that they'll come, and it may take weeks, if not months, to get some momentum behind your community.
I think patience is a fantastic superpower, and I think it's especially apropos for someone who's building community. We talk about the need for community managers to be patient all the time, and it's not just in one dimension. It's, if you jump in to try to answer the question as a community manager, if you try to jump in too quickly, you can kind of stifle conversation. And also to your point about, it's not build it and they will come. It is really about being, giving people a platform, but then being patient enough to let them understand how to best use it and grow from there. So I love patience. I think that's a great one.
All right. I get an A.
You get an A plus. Let me ask a follow-up to that, because I don't think we heard. How long have you been with the City Dads Group, and can you tell us a little bit about that patient growth, if you will?
Yes. So, kind of backstory: Lance Sommerfeld and I were teachers together in the Bronx, PS 86 up in the Bronx. We were sixth grade teachers, and I decided to take off to be at home with my first son. Now over 12 years ago, I thought I'd be home for a year, and 12 years later, I'm still at home. I spent 3 years kind of on my own as an at-home dad, plugging away in my community, hanging out with the moms and the nannies at mommy and me playgroups, and just hanging out. And my friend Lance decided to follow in my footsteps to stay at home 3 years later when his son was born. And the first question he asked me after his wife went back to from maternity leave was, "What have you been doing for the last 3 years?" There's nothing for dads. Everything's written for moms. All the classes say mom on them. There's only mommy groups. What have you been doing? And I said, "I've been hanging out with moms, and I've been hanging out with nannies." And I at that point wasn't proactive about creating this community. So it was November 2008 that Lance really took the initiative and said, let's start meetup, start a meetup group. And we really had no intention of it going beyond us dads, us stay-at-home dads, hanging out together once a week at 10 a.m. at a museum or at Central Park, every now and then grabbing a beer on a Thursday night. But it started to get some momentum. And the first thing we realized is it's not just at-home dads that are active and engaged with their kids. It's really dads of all stripes. We have a lot of teachers in our group who have summers off, who want to hang out on a Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the MoMA. We have a lot of freelancers that have time. We have a lot of entrepreneurs that set their own schedules. And we have probably half our group that are full-time working dads who still care about meeting other dads and wanting to learn what stroller that guy is using or what that guy has in his diaper bag. So we soon switched gears and made our group in New York a group for all types of dads. And I think that was a crucial moment for us in recognizing that dads really do want to be fully engaged in their life as a parent. And that has set the tone for our messaging, and it set the tone for all the rest of our groups. About 5 years ago, we were talking to some guys. They were asking for advice about starting groups. in Los Angeles, a group in Los Angeles, and one thing led to another. We decided we would start the group with him, and we created this umbrella organization, City Dads Group, and started LA Dads Group and Chicago Dads Group around the same time. So that was about 5 years ago, and now we're up. We just opened our 34th group last week. The Pittsburgh Dads are getting excited about meetups all over the Pittsburgh metro area.
This is such a great story. We talk a lot about mandated communities where someone says like, oh, you have to do this and you have to get people to join. And hearing sort of the flip side of that coin where there is already a community and you are organizing those people and connecting those people is, I'm loving hearing the story. It's great.
Oh, thank you. I think, yeah, we mandates, I would never feel comfortable with mandates because these are our volunteers who have proactively come to us saying we want to start a community for dads. And we, I mean, not only do we not have mandates, we actually pay for the group's meetup fees, and we pay the graphic designer to do their graphics to look like the rest of the City Dads Group network, and we pay our web designer to get them on our website and stuff. We really are trying to invest in the community and invest in the guys that are running our community so they can invest in the dads that they're trying to bring together.
Awesome. So our last question is, and you've been giving sort of lots of really great advice already, but if you had to give one piece of advice to someone who, in a very similar way, maybe is part of an enthusiast community like this or has an informal thing that they want to take to the next level, what advice do you have for community builders?
I don't mean to be repetitive, but the first piece of advice that we're giving every dad that's starting one of our groups, and the advice that I would give to everybody starting any sort of community like this, is to have patience and recognize that it really does take time to get some momentum around the community. And I mean, there are communities that do post on their first meetup and have 100 people show up, but I'm guessing that is not the norm, and it really does take time to find the members of your community that connect with what you're trying to do, and to assume just because you have put it up there that everybody's going to flock to you, especially in this day and age, where we're competing against the noise of everything else going on in the world. You really do have to be patient, but you also have to be intentional and really try to do the right things. And what we've learned in New York City over the past 9 years, almost to the day, we're trying to share with our guys running these other 33 groups around the country, and now they have experience under their belts that they're sharing. So that second piece of advice, I guess, is really connect to other organizers, which is what all of you, or what your whole organization is about, is connecting the people that are running the organizations.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time this morning to do this with us. I loved hearing your story. And if anyone out there is looking to join a City Dad group, you guys are at citydadsgroup.com, right?
Yes. Yes, we are, and City Dads Group on all of the social media channels, and that has links to all of our 34 groups across the country, and our blog, and our podcast, and all our social media channels.
Fantastic. It sounds like you're busy, so I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.